Time to recap McCook School Board of Education meeting for the month of May. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Rich. Thank you.
Nice ceremony the other day at the Graff Event Center for graduation.
Yeah, it was a great ceremony. I really like our ceremonies celebrating kids. We really focus on students. It's about the kids. Our kid speakers are the best. We recognize academic achievement. We recognize students that represent the class, represent McCook High School really well. And so I really do like McCook Public Schools or McCook High School's graduation ceremony. It's a great event, and it was packed in there. It was packed.
Always is.
Yeah, packed. There's no. I don't think there was any seats left this year. Maybe there was one here or there, but we had folks standing around the top, and so it was a great turnout for graduation as well.
And thanks to, again, the college. They have the college in the morning, the high school at night, and that's just a great venue to have that.
Yeah, it is. We really appreciate McCook Community College supporting McCook High School and allowing us to use that facility. It does line up well when we can arrange it so our graduations are on the same day, and this year was one of those years. And so was a perfect, that was a great day for McCook Community College. They had their graduation in the morning. They hosted ours in the afternoon, evening. So, yeah, special day.
Let's get to the agenda. The meeting from last night. We'll start first, public participating presentations, reports.
Well, actually, we started off last night a little bit earlier. We had an open hearing, part of our committee, our American Civics Committee, allowed for folks to come in and speak to them. We did not have anybody last night at the committee meeting, but we did discuss several issues. First of all, we talked a little bit about the purpose of this committee, and it's to discuss the integration of foundational subjects, including civics, history, economics, financial literacy, and geography into our curriculum. We talked about the development of our assessments, how we gauge our students' mastery of social studies, our social studies standards, and our social studies essential learning objectives. We talked about the inclusion of historically significant figures and groups from diverse cultures. And we also talked about the assessment. I'll report next month to the committee. We'll meet again at 5:30 next month about our civics assessment. So students in McCook Public Schools take the naturalization assessment that you have to take to become a U.S. citizen, and we have a minimum expectations for performance on that. And so those are being, I think they might be given today at the high school. We have sophomores taking that, I believe, today. Anyway, so I'll be presenting that information to our Board of Education. Our kids always do really, really well. One of the fun things I like to do in that is also take some questions from that test and ask my committee members if they can answer them. And there's some tough questions on that test, but our kids take that and they always do really, really well on it. And so that's kind of how we started last night. And then after that, we went in at 6 o'clock. We went into our regular Board of Education meeting, and we started that off with, we didn't have any public comments last night in the regular board meeting, but we did have a presentation. And so we had a presentation on digital citizenship poster competition, statewide poster competition with our fifth grade students and our teachers that are involved with that. Tina Williams, who's our our technology integration specialist who works with teachers to integrate technology into the classroom so that we're using it in an effective manner. Because technology, if it's not used accurate or well, it can be misused. And so Tina really helps us focus in on using technology in a manner that helps accelerate learning versus hindering that. And then also we had Zoe Francescato, a fifth grade social studies teacher. They both presented, brought some kids in. They read, they made these posters that talked about digital citizenship. The focus of the posters were about being kind, being nice. And they created these beautiful works of art. They were allowed to use technology to create them. They were very patriotic. You know, had Mr. Some of them had Uncle Sam there pointing that we want you to be nice. You know, be a competent, conscientious digital user. And so we had a group of fifth grade boys come in and present their projects, present their posters to the Board of Education. It was a great presentation, great opportunity for those kids to display their public speaking skills already in fifth grade. And I was really impressed with our kids, but I was also very impressed with our Board of Education engaging with those students and asking them questions. And it was just a great way to start off last night's board meeting. So really appreciate the work. their teachers are doing and the work that our kids are doing. And we had two of our fifth grade, and I unfortunately don't have the names, so they're probably going to be in the paper, so read the paper later. I apologize for not having those written down here. But two of our fifth grade students placed in the state, so we'll have that reported. We'll get it on social media is what mm-hmm. we'll do, and okay. so people can go look that up. Also, we had, and that was all of our presentations for last night. So really appreciate them bringing those kids in, bringing the kids in, having us have a chance to interact with them, and showing us the work that they were working on. After that, we got into just our regular board meeting, approved the consent agenda and expenditures for the month. Did have two committee meetings during the last month. The first one is a policy committee meeting. When we go down later into the agenda, there's a lot of action items that are where we're going to be approving policy. So the board policy committee had to review a number of policies. Most of these policies, as I explained last night, the majority of these policies were rewritten or changed or altered or updated based on the passage of new state statute. So the unicameral just got out of session. It was a short session this year. Our attorneys were able to go to work, look at the policies and how those changes in law affect or impact our policies. We've made the adjustments, and then we covered those last night. And so there's a wide range of policies we looked at, one from bulletin boards, display cases, and posted materials, making sure that those are appropriate for school, and also making sure that different types of organizations and entities that represent teacher groups or administrative groups or classified groups have equal access to present materials. That was approved last night. We had a series of three policies that had to do with procurement and purchasing, all related to state statute changes. So if the state changes a number, let's say they make it go from $250,000 for a certain type of purchase process to $350,000, that law forces us to change our policy to match. And so we had policy number 3131, 3132, and 3130, all related to some changes there with purchasing, procurement, and the processes we use to enter into certain types of agreements and contracts with entities that might provide services to the school system. So those were all changed. we also had a policy number 3560, which had to do with records management. Again, the state unicameral decided this year that we really needed to do a better job as a state of tracking students between different types of educational entities. So we have a really good system of tracking students between, let's say, from Southwest to McCook Public Schools or McCook Public Schools to Lincoln Public Schools. But when we talk about YRTC or these different type of educational entities or Boys Town or something along those lines, we needed to improve that. We needed to improve it not only for academic, just watching our kids, making sure we're keeping track of them, but for their academics as well, the assessment scores, those types of things follow along with our kids. So based on that change in state statute, we changed our policy to come into alignment with it so our practices would match what the state's expectations are. Also, we had policy 5003, 5004, and 5005. They all have to do with the assignment of students. They have to do with full-time, part-time enrollment. They have to do with student residency. And also with 5006, we have to do with option enrollment. So there was a series of policies there that were changed based on how we look at students at the state level. For one thing, for example, the state now has in law that if a sibling is currently attending, or if a student is currently attending McCook Public Schools, and they have a brother or sister or a sibling that's attending a school district, a neighboring school district, and they want to option into McCook Public Schools, at this point, if they're attending, still in attendance at McCook Public Schools, we automatically accept that option enrollment with no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that was something we had to change in policy. They also had changes as related to full and part-time status and how that impacts your ability to join clubs, those types of things in a school. So even if, let's say a student comes in just for a few periods a day, they're still allowed to join our math club or something along those lines. Doesn't mean they're able to go to FFA or be on a sports team, because those organizations have their own operating expectations that are set by the NSAA or by the FFA organization at a state or national level. So it really just kind of focuses on clubs within a school system, but we would allow access to those kids to our math club or something along those lines. And then we had a policy 5601 has to do with asthma and allergic reactions. That was an update based on state statute. We approved a policy 8130, changes to the annual organization meeting and the process we use for that. And then 8342, a method of giving notice. McCook Public Schools' method of notifying the community that we're going to have a meeting is using the paper, the McCook Gazette. But some communities don't have a paper that's a regular paper or even a weekly paper. So the state has allowed for those types of school districts to use their websites or to do postings around the community. So again, we updated our policy to match state statute. And then we accepted, let's see, and I think I missed one here that was important. And I think it was 5606 or 5603. Yeah, the assignment of students, or 5003, approval of students, has to do with graduation requirements. It has to do with placing students in our system if they come from an unaccredited school. What grade do we put them in, those types of things. And also what requirements we expect for graduation. If you're going to receive a diploma from McCook High School, we have practices and procedures. And what we did to this policy is made it really clear. So when people read the policy, they'll see, okay, here is what our – we just put our expectations and our practices into writing. So that's the change that was made to policy 5003. And so that kind of covers the policy committee meeting.
A number of policies, huh? New ones.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at this, and usually I don't get these reports until – are these updates until later in the year. So I would go about the process. Usually I do this in June or July. Mm-hmm. So this year we got them early. Also, I wanted to do this so we didn't have to put it off. Mr. Gross's first action item wasn't have to go through a whole series of policies and make all these changes. So unless we get some more updates later in the year, which is always possible, we should be good to go for the 26-27 school year. Then also we had another committee meeting last night. Oh, that was the Americanism Committee. So basically they just reported to the Board of Education during the meeting what happened during the committee meeting, because only three members of the committee are there during that meeting. So they updated them on that no one had spoke and then kind of covered the hot topics there. Also, we shared with them that next month that we'll have another meeting. This won't be a hearing, so there won't be the public comment portion, but we'll be talking more specifically about, like I said, those test scores, but we'll also be talking a little bit about curriculum. So how I have to provide evidence to the committee of that we teach citizenship, that we teach patriotism, that we teach our American system of government. I have to show them in economics and finance, all these other elements that are part of the state statute. I have to show them that this is how we do it, and here's the grade levels that we teach it in. And so that'll be next month. But we did tell them that that's coming up next month. But that would probably cover my American Civics Committee meeting.
And board and administrative comments, is that one?
Yes, got one, yeah. Okay. So I'll just keep talking, I guess. poverty, the first thing I started off with my report was part of the poverty allocation for schools. This is really confusing, and I thought maybe I'd try to explain it, and I think I got halfway through last night and thinking this is still going to be confusing to everybody, but I'll go over it really briefly. So there's basically an 8-step process for determining how allocations are made for poverty to a school system. The first 2 steps have to do with how we identify which students qualify. There's 2 ways the state of Nebraska does that. They use state income tax returns, and they also use free and reduced lunch forms. And so they don't combine the two. They make a decision. Whichever number comes back with a higher percentage of students on qualifying as poverty is the system that they use. And in McCook Public Schools, that has been the income tax returns. Income tax returns always gives us more information. Some folks just never feel comfortable filling out the free and reduced lunch forms. And so those numbers always tend to be a little bit less. So for McCook, it's these income tax returns. They select the higher count. That's step three. Step four is apply a growth adjustment. So poverty numbers change, or poverty amount, dollar amounts change, if they look at the three-year average and the new data coming in is higher. So then that poverty amount grows. They calculate poverty percentage based on the total number of students, the percentage of students that qualify versus the total number of students. Then they apply tiered weighting systems. So you can be at 30%, 25%, 20%, 15%, 10%, 5%. And then what they do, if you qualify at 30% or more, it doesn't go past really 30%. If you qualify for 30% or more, then what they do is they divide the entire student body into each 5% tier. And then so they'd put 25 in each of those tier from 30% down to zero. And so that is kind of the numbers that they work with. Then they add formula needs, that formula portion of needs based off those numbers into the whole TEOSA formula. And so that's put into it. Now, I did skip a part where they have to, there's a maximum control overall impact number, but we're not close to that. So for McCook Public Schools, that doesn't have any part to play in decision concerning what our poverty dollars are. And then those poverty dollars, like I just said, they go into the overall TEOSA formula. So they're not, it's not TEOSA, it's just a single portion of TEOSA. In summary, I provided them, poverty funding is determined by selecting the highest poverty measure, adjusting for recent growth, applying a weighted tier system based on concentration, and incorporating the result into an overall formula need. Also talked a little bit last night about changes to the NPERS retirement system, and this has to do with anybody that's employed by public school systems in the state of Nebraska. There used to be a mandatory sit-out date. If you retired, or you couldn't work, go sign a contract with a school district for 180 days. Now, in that 180-day period, what they did allow, let's say a retired teacher to do, is they could substitute teach for 8 days a month. And so that was a way for them to help out the system, even though they're not really fully working for the school system again. Well, they've changed that law. There was a lot of talk about the 120 or the 180 is too long, and it doesn't match other state entities or systems. And so they reduced the number of days to 120 to bring it into alignment with other state agencies. But the other change they did, which is great, we really appreciate the 120 drop. It makes it more flexible. Teachers can get back in the classroom sooner if schools need, like we hired, we'll get into it later, two retired teachers last night to help us out with areas we're struggling to find folks. But it gets them back into the classroom quicker in those emergency situations. But in that 120-day period, they cannot work for the school system in any capacity. So we can't hire them as a substitute teacher. We can't hire them as officials to officiate a basketball or football game. They're not even to volunteer for McCook Public Schools, a retired teacher. So that change has an impact on us as well. So we're not as happy with that part, but we understand it, and we're willing to deal with those that change, because the 180 it's much better than 180 days. And also we can't have any prearrangement return to work agreements either. So when you retire from McCook Public Schools, you don't talk about coming back. The administrators don't talk to you about potentially coming back. It's retirement. And then if you have an inkling, wait your 120 days and then call in. So we talked about that. That's a big change for public schools across the state. Another thing I talked about was the University of Nebraska Med Center Bachelor's of Science in Nursing Pathway Memorandum of Understanding that we signed this past month. We did sign that and put it into effect. I'm really excited about that, and I wanted to thank key partners with establishing this. So we obviously, McCook Public Schools, were excited that the University of Nebraska Med Center has decided to partner with us. We really feel you know, honored that we're able to put this pathway together for our kids. We're thankful to the community hospital. They're going to be critical partners with this and providing financial support for students who are interested in going on to get their Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. And also we're thankful to Mid Plains Community College, because without them we couldn't provide a lot of the education or a lot of the coursework their students need to be part of, to participate in this pathway. So really a community effort here to really help our kids and help our community, because that really is our goal. The goal of the UNMC program is to teach or prepare kids to be nurses, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and then return to their communities such as McCook and work in our local hospitals and taking care of our local people. And this is it's really critically important for McCook. We need nursing. We need nurses, just like we need teachers. Really glad that all came to fruition. A lot of hard work. I appreciate the work Mr. Dickus has done to bring this all together, and appreciate, again, the University of Nebraska Med Center for partnering with us. And those students will attend the University of Nebraska Med Center in Kearney, Nebraska. That's our pathways through the UNK campus. They are separate. The UNMC is separate, but they're on the same campus. Nebraska School Finance Review Commission, this is something that's been going on since 2025. They are in the process of assessing or looking at how finance is conducted for school funding is conducted in the state of Nebraska. And they've come across they really want to change TEOSA. So the goal is kind of figure out, how do we fund schools, change TEOSA, and really alleviate tax burdens on local property taxpayers. So that's their hope, is through this process they can discover that. One of the things that they have found in the most recent meeting that they got together, there were two presentations. There was a presentation provided by the group that was looking at spending, and there was a presentation on funding. And so the funding review found that the commission, the research they conducted, phase one of its work, the needs part, or that I kind of talked about a little bit earlier with poverty, group is focusing on needs for the portion of TEOSA state aid formula. During this presentation, committee members explained the major components of the formula, including a detailed review of how poverty allocations work and other portions of the process. The committee also described historical rationale behind key elements of the formula and how those components are originally designed to address varying student needs across districts. So one of the things that they found through this process was that all the work that had been put into TEOSA was done on purpose. It was actually designed by very intelligent people from across the state when TEOSA was originally formed. I know Senator Rakes was very involved. Dallas Watkins from Dundee County was very much involved with the design of this formula. And so they really had a reason. And all the changes that have occurred since then, there was a reason for those changes. And so I think they're finding some difficulty with justifying removing any portion, or how do you add something, because everything's interconnected. If you change the weight of this element, it impacts this other one. So what are those? I already talked about poverty. You might have special education funding. You might have English language learners as part of that. Overall student body count, option enrollment. All these pieces play a part of the TEOSA formula. They followed that with the spending portion of it. And so a committee focused on looking at or examining property tax collections, state funding support for schools, and overall spending practices across Nebraska school districts. In their analysis, they found that Nebraska has taken measurable steps to reduce reliance on property taxes by increasing the state share. So they found that about approximately 38% of the school funding in 2019 and 20 was from the state. But in 2024, the year we just completed, it was 53%. So the state has upped its portion of school funding across the state. And so what's the decrease? Well, so that decreased the local share by about 56% to 38%. So some of the actions that have taken place in the last 5 years have actually impacted the percentage of funding that comes from local property taxpayers to support school funding. Now, I don't think anybody thinks that we've reached the promised land just yet, that more work needs to be done. But some of these steps have had an impact on property taxes. And then the last thing in my report, I talked about the draft, student handbook draft that was presented in the packet, the board packet for this month. They'll be looking at that. They need to look through it, make sure that there's no errors. They don't see anything wrong with their names or email addresses. And also they need to look at the content changes. They're all highlighted for them to review because we look to approve those at the June meeting. And so that was my report.
Wow. A lot going on. A lot of good stuff
little,
there. You bet.
Bit, yeah. And then we'll go into the Mr. Gross had the monthly business manager report, had served 15,000 on the nose meals last month. I don't think that happens very often. Financials, 66% of the fiscal year, general fund year to date. Revenue is at expenditures. Revenue is at 70%. All funds year to date is 69%. For revenue and for expenses, 67%. Facilities update, we're doing work on the junior high gymnasium right now, so we've removed the old bleachers. We're going to put in new bleachers. They're doing basketball goal repairs for support repairs. And also that gym floor has been sanded down. All 26 years of varnish is taken off. I guess it was quite a load of sanded off varnish. Sanded off the paint. Discovered that we have very thick wood was put in when that gym floor was put in. So it has some more sanding. We can sand that wood again in the future, which is actually good news. We've put down some sealer. I've seen some initial paint put down on that, and it looks really good. And so it'll be a nice change once that gym is fully complete, with the new bleachers put in and the new floor. It's going to be a great facility for junior high kids. And obviously, we do use that for some high school events. We do a lot of JV competitions in that gym, and it'll be everything is going to be much better for the athletes and for the spectators. Upcoming projects and infrastructure, we have elementary school scheduled for grade classroom updates. They'll start on May 1st. We have roofing projects at junior high and central coming up this summer. Central gym wall mount, we have new wall mats going in there. Senior high main hallway renovation will be conducted this summer. That's going to be a big project for our maintenance crew. They're going to be drywalling, drop ceilings, new lighting, new carpet. And so, yeah, it's tile right now. So that'll be a significant change coming into next year. And then we've filed our federal reports on Title I and non-public federal programs and boundaries. So not that anybody knows what that is. But anyway, those have been filed.
Hey, going back to your talking about the meals served.
Yeah.
We plan on having summer meals again?
Yes, we'll have summer meals again. It'll look a lot like last year. Okay. That's going to be connected closely to our summer school program. Again, that summer school program encouraged parents to get their kids involved. It's a fun time. It's an extension of the school year, but they are a lot more engaging. There's a lot more fun activities. It's a really good experience for the kids. So encourage parents to, if they want more information about that, contact McCook Elementary or Central Elementary, and they'll provide any information you need.
Do you believe we're at new business now?
Yes.
You've got some new contract approvals.
We did. We start off with a contract for Patricia Dohrst. She's going to take over first semester sixth grade English language arts teacher at the junior high. And we've worked with her. This is the second time we've put her on a full-time contract. She was a teacher for us in the high school for a number of years as a math teacher. Outstanding teacher. She works with us virtually every day as a substitute teacher and just does an amazing job. She's going to work for us during that first semester to provide some support for us while we continue to look for our full-time replacement for that classroom. We do have a plan in place, but you know, certain things have to fall into place for it to work out. So we're excited about her doing that. And that contract was approved. I also approved a contract with Joel Bedner last night. Mr. Gross has made the decision to offer him the chief of K-12 education instruction, which is a position that is kind of new. I kind of fill that role right now at the school district. Mr. Gross is going to act as the superintendent. He's going to be the decision maker. He's going to be the final say and carry the weight of that. But he's also going to continue to manage the books and the dollars and the cents. So he needs someone to kind of come in that supporting role. This chief of education instruction will lead the district's academic vision and strategy and oversee curriculum instruction assessment. They'll also be in charge of our multi-tiered system of support, which is intervention supports for schools and for students across the district, provide principals, instructional leaders, and they'll help develop building leadership capacity, ensure consistent implementation of district priorities, oversee student services, including special education and counseling related supports, and serve as senior advisor to the superintendent. So it's going to be a good job, a big job, and so, but it'll be very supportive and help the system sort of keep operating in the way that we do currently. I'm sure there'll be tweaks and improvements, but it helped keep things we currently do. And so that was approved last night. Then we also approved, since Mr. Bednar will be leaving Central Elementary School as the principal, we had to hire a new principal, and Mr. Gross offered the position to Molly Sharp for the position of elementary principal and curriculum director. And that was approved also last night. Molly's been with us in the dean position at Central Elementary School for the last 6 years. She's been in our administrative pipeline that entire time. So we feel she's well qualified and well prepared to lead Central Elementary School. And so look forward to that change for next year as well. The next contract we approved was with Colleen Olson. Colleen was with us for years as an eighth grade math teacher. She's coming back as an elementary teacher, helping us again out with a position because Molly Sharp's position opened up late in the year. This provided us time to, well, first of all, Colleen's a master teacher, so bringing her back will keep her as long as we can in the classroom working with kids, but certainly for the next year, give her an opportunity to work with our kids and do a masterful job. And so that contract was approved last night as well. So important changes, but we got great people going into all those positions, and that's, can't always say that, but we really have some top-notch folks there. Then we're going to get into a series of policies that I've already kind of gone through, so I don't want to belabor that. But all of the policies last night were approved that I already kind of shared with everybody were approved by the Board of Education. The last two action items were to accept a donation from the Graff Charitable Foundation for the girls' tennis team in the amount of $1,000. Very much appreciate that donation to our girls' tennis team. We have a great tennis program. Both our boys and girls are incredibly successful tennis programs, and it's support like that that will continue that. I don't want to brag and say like dominance, but we've been pretty darn good, and so it does absolutely impact the quality of the program, the experience that our girls are going to have in that program. So thank you to the Graff Charitable Foundation. Also, we accepted a $1,250 donation from CTE Construction for the Bison Kids Club After School Snack Program. This is the third donation from CTE to McCook Public Schools. They've been very generous, great community partners, great community business. And helping this is our extended day program. We have, and so we really want kids in this program, and we don't want that there to be a financial burden to folks who send their kids to this program. So this really does make a difference. And we've relied on charitable giving the last several years from other entities. Those kind of aren't there right now. And so CTE stepped up and answered the call, and really appreciate that. And those are all the action items from last night.
Were to positive comments last night?
We are. We were on to positive comments. So Charlie started off with graduation ceremony. Was great, and it went off well, and appreciated the time and the energy that went into setting it all up for Mr. Dickus, Mr. Curl, the counselors at the high school. And then also thank you for conducting all different types of field trips at the end of the school year for our kids. So we have kids, I know, Pioneer Village and going to Kearney and to the arch going over the interstate. Mm-hmm. Great experiences for our kids. Also, Mike wanted to thank. It was good to see. Good to be able to attend the event in Washington, D.C. He and Brad Hayes, along with Jeff Gross, were able to go to Washington, D.C. and sit down with lawmakers. I know they sat down with Adrian Smith, and they sat down with Deb Fisher, and they sat down with some other folks, and we're able to have face-to-face conversations about education policy, and to make sure that Southwest Nebraska's voice is heard, and when they make decisions, that we're on their mind. Also, I wanted to thank the school for all it does to help students graduate and make plans for the future. He knows that we really do work hard to get kids that diploma in their hand. They're not given away, but he knows we work really hard to make sure that the students meet our expectations. And so he was very thankful for that. Scott was happy with the graduation celebration. That was a great night for kids and for the community. Also commented on the Students' Wax Museum, which was at Central Elementary School, and what a great event that was, and wanted to make sure we recognize Mrs. Johnson from McCook Elementary School for receiving the Educator of the Year Award. Jeff talked about field trips and activities for kids this time of year. He just said there's a lot of things going on. We're sending a lot of buses and a lot of kids different places, and we couldn't do it without the volunteers. So he wanted to thank community members who are volunteering their time to help act as sponsors and supervisors for those events. Brad said graduation was great. It was a great send-off for kids who've worked really, really hard. And felt that that was a great celebration, recognizing the work of our kids and our school system and our community. Then I'm kind of going back to something I already commented on, but I wanted to thank Tina Williams and Zoe Francescato for the work they did with our students and preparing them to present great projects to the state of Nebraska on the digital citizenship posters. So great work, and really appreciate all that they've done. And also I commented last night on the honestly, the way our board supports kids and the way they interact with our students, they're very encouraging. They ask great questions. They really showed positive support. And I think that those kids had a great experience. I would say that they'll remember it for a long time, that opportunity to stand in front of our board and interact with them. And that's everything.
You've got one more board meeting, I do believe. Is that right?
As far as I know, I have one more on June 8th. Mm-hmm. So we'll go out with a bang.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't expect anything too big.
Of course, if folks did not know, Mr. Norgard's taken a position with the State Board Department of Education.
That's correct.
How is the latest? Are you starting to kind of head into Lincoln and every now and then and kind of getting ready for that move or not yet?
Sure. What I've done is I've started to participate with their state board level meetings, not live. I have to watch it later because they have it during the school day, but I have watched all of their many of their meetings. I've reading what they're working on right now. I've become familiar with their strategic plan. Since it's kind of on my shoulders that we achieve it. Anyway, so there's a few things like that. I've really started to become acquainted with at a deeper level. I knew what a lot of these elements were, but I'm starting to get a little bit more into the weeds, so to speak, and I'll learn what I'm going to be doing when I get up there. And of course, most of it I'm going to learn once I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's interesting, I start on July 6th, and then on July 8th, I'm flying to Washington, D.C. for an education forum right away. So they're going to shoot me out of the cannon from the get-go. So
have you found a house yet?
No. I've got to sell my house first. Mm-hmm. So got to find a buyer. And then so we're looking at rentals, and if we sell it, we'll start looking at houses.
All right. Very good. Next meeting, once again, coming up on Monday, June the 8th.
That's correct.
Very good. And school gets out what day now?
The 19th for students will be the last day for students. I think that's a Tuesday, and then teachers are out on the 20th.
Summer school?
And that starts in not too long after that. I'll have to get you that date.
But very, very soon.
Yeah, the elementaries are doing a great job advertising that with families. That's where that's coming from. I think traditionally we've started that in that first week of June, but I'd hate to say that and be a week off. So if they start a week early or something along those lines, which is always possible.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.